You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. In this message, we learn how Zechariah's song celebrates God's promise.
Right, good evening, 7 p.m. service. Today, we're going through a series called The Promise Fulfilled. If you missed out our first installment, we got to learn that this series is all about looking into or revisiting some songs in the Bible, particularly songs that talks about the coming of the promised Savior, Jesus. And last week, we looked into one song, Magnificat, and it was a song sang by Mary after she received the divine revelation that she was going to give birth miraculously, all right, to the promised Savior, to Jesus. And today, we're going to look into another song, and we're going to look into the life of another person as well who was closely involved with what was about to happen, which is, again, the birth of Jesus. And the song we're going to look into today is called Benedictus. These titles are taken from the Latin translation of the first words or phrases of the songs. Now, if last week's song was sung by Mary, this song was made by a guy named Zechariah, a relative of Mary. And if you have your Bibles with you, can turn them to Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." Verse 73, "The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him in all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So just before we unpack and dig into the song we just read a while ago, just a bit of background as well about the guy who made this song, or the guy who sang the song. If last week we were looking into the life of Mary, today we're going to look into primarily Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth, if you remember last week, I briefly mentioned these guys. Okay? After seeing Mary, she received her divine revelation from the angel of the Lord, who told her that she was going to give birth miraculously to the promised Savior, the one that her people had been waiting for hundreds of years. After she heard about it and after she accepted it, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, because her cousin Elizabeth at this time was also pregnant miraculously. And we're going to learn how it happened and why did Zechariah sang that song. Now that song in itself, if you would look at it, it's a song of rejoicing as well. Because Mary, she said, "Now my soul will magnify the Lord." Zechariah said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was thanking God. He was glorifying God. Now before we get to that, for us to appreciate what Zechariah is saying, let's go back for a while and see how it all unfolded. How did Elizabeth become miraculously pregnant as well, just like Mary? Now, who were Zechariah and Elizabeth apart from being relatives of Mary? In Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, we get this description of the two of them. It says here, "When Herod was king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." So you get to have this picture of how holy or God-fearing these people are. They walk right before God. They followed all the laws, all the rules. They were blameless. In verse 7, it says here, it continues, "But they had no child." They had all these good descriptions. And then in verse 7, it says, "They had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years." Now, we might not get the gravity of that statement nowadays compared to before, but culturally, in their time, if you were married and you don't have a child, you don't have a baby, then the stigma you would most likely get from the people around you is that people will think that you are not blessed or you are not favored by God, that there is something wrong with you or with your marriage. Because in their culture, in their time, having a child having a baby represents the favor and the blessing of God in your life. That's why the more children you have back then, the more blessed you are. Because having more children means more people will be your heirs. If you have no children, no one will be your heir. People think that you are not blessed. You are cursed or something wrong with you. And that's what was happening with Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were God-fearing people. But even though they did so, they had no children. That was their challenge. And then one day in Luke chapter 1 verse 13, it says here, but the angel said to him, an angel of the Lord came to Zechariah, much like it did with Mary. An angel came to him and said, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Zechariah has been praying about this probably for years. Because in the previous description, we've learned that they were advanced in years, 80 to 90 years old. That's how old they were. That's how long probably Zechariah had this prayer. And it says here, your prayer has been heard, Zechariah, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. It's amazing. Zechariah had this revelation from God that his prayer was answered. Now, if you were Zechariah, how would you respond? What if an angel came to you one day and told you, bro, God has heard of your prayer. That exam you've been praying for, that subject you've been praying for, makapasar na jud ka. That promotion you've been asking for, finally, you will be promoted. You will be a manager. Or you will start your own business now. Or you will finally meet the man of your dreams or the woman of your dream. You'd probably rejoice, right, in prayer. Or that dream car, that travel you've been praying for. Imagine if you were Zechariah. You've been praying for a long time. And suddenly, God affirms it miraculously. But Zechariah responds interestingly. He says here in verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. If he was alive today, he takes his senior citizen card and says, angel, if you haven't noticed, mga lagpas na kong 60. How can this happen? Imagine if you will, your lolo, your lola, your grandmother will tell you one day, uy, na, guess what, na-angel ngayon ako, mabuntis daw ko. Imagine ang lola mayon ni mo nga, napakailang ka-relative maabot at 80 to 90 years old. How would you feel? That's what Zechariah was feeling. Parang sound ni siya. How shall I know that this is gonna come true? As ironic as it is, Zechariah is supposed to be a priest, a man of God, guy who has been trained about the word of God, about the laws of God. And yet in the presence of the angel of the Lord, Zechariah doubts. Zechariah doubts that it can happen. He says, Lord, this is what's happened. This is my situation now. Yes, I've been praying that, Lord, but Lord, muna yung reality right now. I'm old. My wife is old. How can this be? And in verse 20, this is what happened to Zechariah because of his disbelief. It says here, and behold, this is the angel talking to Zechariah, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. The angel says, you will be mute. You cannot speak until all this has happened, until his son would be born. He became mute, and later on, he probably became deaf, because in a couple of verses in the Bible, it says that the people had to communicate with signs, so he couldn't hear as well. He was deaf, and he was mute. And perhaps for some of us here today, what we can take from this situation, looking at it right now, we can relate to the situation of Zechariah. Maybe for some of us here tonight, you are like Zechariah. There's certain things that you've been praying, kang God. You've been asking, kang God. You look around your life, you're thinking, Lord, asa naman ang answered prayer, Lord? Lord, asa naman, Lord, I've been praying about it for weeks, for months, for years. Maybe we can all relate with Zechariah. Lord, wala na, Lord, lagpas na, Lord. Lord, wala na, no hope na, Lord. Or Lord, your answered prayer is too late na. How can it be, Lord? Zechariah felt like God couldn't do anything because of what was happening in his life. Now, to be fair with Zechariah, was he really old, factually old, kind of 80 to 90-year-old woman give birth, logically speaking? No, biologically speaking, di na pwede. But here's the thing. We're talking about God here. Zechariah was in the midst of witnessing a miraculous or divine revelation from the angel of the Lord, and yet he doubted. And yet he limited and boxed God with what he could see, with what he could perceive. The same thing with us. We might be here today thinking, Lord, tinapoy, Lord, kay muni tabo sa life na ako. We might tend to limit God. A question for us is, how do you respond when your current circumstance displays the impossibility of a future promise? Maybe you've had received promises from God, a week ago, a few weeks ago, months ago, you've held onto that promise and you're thinking, Lord, how can this be? This is what's happening in my life right now. Maybe you think God's promises are too far-fetched. Parang, Lord, far out ra kayong promise ng Lord. Di na siya may tabo na karon. As I was preparing for this word, I came across some interesting far-out promises made by some people who ran for public office, kanang mga nag-ran for campaigns and all that. There's this guy, his name is Vermin Supreme. He's a joke candidate, and interestingly, this guy promised one time when he ran for public office, if he won for a certain position, he promised a pony for every American citizen. A pony, nakay kabayo. That's how far out it is. There's this other guy who ran for office as well. This guy, his name is Newt Gingrich, and he promised that by 2020, if he was going to get elected, by 2020, there was going to be a permanent U.S. moon colony. A colony in the moon, na space station sa moon, by 2020. So it's 2018 next year, so 2 more years, baka some of you, you'll be part of that. But anyway, he didn't win. Now, the point I'm sharing all this far-out promises. Maybe perhaps we think God's promises are like that. Mga far-out promises. Mga promises na gipang yaw-yaw lang. Perhaps some of us here today, we've received those from certain people. And we are lumping together whatever we've heard from God, whatever promises, whatever God has spoken to us. We think, Lord, it's far out. But I'm here today to remind us, church, that even amidst whatever circumstance we face, it might not be idyllic. It might not be good and say, Lord, ready na ko mo receive sa promise nimo. But the truth is, even if the odds are stacked against you, you are being set up for a perfect miracle. The fact that you have hindrances in your life does not negate the fact that you can still receive a miracle or the promises of God. Because it is a miracle. It is a promise from God. God is not limited by the circumstances in your life. Just as we will learn kang Zechariah. Zechariah doubted. Zechariah was not believing that promise at first, and yet God's promise to him and his family still got fulfilled. He still had a son named John. And he still sang later on that song, Benedictus. And we might think, gano na rejoice siya later. He didn't believe him at first. How did it happen from this guy who didn't believe to this guy who sang, Lord, blessed be your name, Lord. How did it happen? He was mute for 9 months. Zechariah probably soaked up all that he learned, meditated on the word of God, tried to learn and figure out what happened to him. He sought the word of God because in verse 67 of Luke chapter 1, it says here that Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. When he sang the song, he was filled with the Spirit. In other words, he took some time worshiping God, seeking God, meditating on the words of God, so that he was filled with the Spirit. And probably, you know, one of the things he did to meditate on are these verses. In Luke chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, the angel of the Lord, when he told Zechariah he was going to have a son, the angel told Zechariah the specific destiny that his son was going to have. It says here, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. But basically, the angel of the Lord is telling Zechariah, your son has a great destiny. He's going to do this. Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. He's going to give you a son miraculously, and your son is going to do this. And at first, Zechariah didn't catch that. He just thought, how can this be? Saan pagitabuani? He was consumed with the physical probability of it happening. How can it logically happen, scientifically happen, or saan ba siya? But through the seeking of God, probably he meditated on this, and he came to understand that God's promise for him and his family was not just a personal promise. There was a purpose to it. In the eyes of God, whenever he gives a promise to us, there is a purpose attached to the promises of God. And when Zechariah caught it, understood it, when it clicked in his head, when he understood, okay, munim buhaton sa anak na ako, then he sang that song, Benedictus. When his son was born, when it came to pass, when he could speak, he sang, he glorified God. And the first parts of his song, as we're about to dissect his song, interestingly, he doesn't talk about his son at first. Over like 80% of the song, it's not about his son, John. It's about the grander picture, about the promise of God to his people, not just his personal promise to Zechariah. That's why the song of Zechariah, Benedictus, is divided into two parts, the horn of salvation and the promised prophet. Zechariah first exalts or glorifies God about this whole topic about the horn of salvation, to basically say the promised Messiah. in verse 68 of Luke chapter 1, says here, "Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people." Redeemed His people. Zechariah understood, finally, and he was singing, "Kang God, Lord, You have redeemed Your people." First thing I want to understand, talking about this song, is that God redeems His people, or God is redeeming His people. Tell you something for a while. God redeems. God redeems. God redeemed His people. Zechariah understood that this was not just about him getting a son. There was a bigger picture. His son was going to play a role for God's redemptive purposes, for God's plan to redeem His people, for God's plan to send the promised Savior. And His son was going to make a way for that. That's what his destiny was, to make a way for the Lord, to prepare the way for the Lord. And this was prophesied years ago, hundreds of years ago, in the book of Malachi. If you remember, I remember this series. There's this chapter in Malachi chapter 4 about a prophet one day who was going to make a way for the Lord. And that person was the son of Zechariah. And Zechariah, being a man of God, a priest, he knows of the scriptures. He probably thought, "Wow, Lord, grabe, akong anak pa ang part sa divine plan ni mo. He's going to make a way for the Lord. What a privilege that is." That's why he said, "Blessed be the Lord of God of Israel, for He has visited him and redeemed His people." He's about to see firsthand that God was actively unfolding His plan. Even though God has been silent up until this point for 400 years. Take note, for these people, the Israelites, for 400 years, God has not spoken through any prophet up until now. And now suddenly, Zechariah gets to see God unfolding His plans. And in his perspective, he's seeing God sending the one who's going to make a way for the Lord. And that's his son, Zechariah. God redeems His people. And verse 69 also says there, "And He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from of old." In their time, in their culture, horns like this one right here was used a lot. Horns from animals, they used for protection, all that, but they were used for many things. Sa Israelites, they put oil in them. That's when they buslots to nga. But specifically, more importantly, in the altar where they would offer sacrifices, there are four protrusions or four horns. And what they would do as part of their practice, part of the rituals that God had prescribed His people to do, was that they would put blood on the horns to purify the altar. In doing so, part of the ritual, it would redeem them of their sins for the year, temporarily. And what Zechariah is telling here in verse 69, he says here, there's this horn of salvation from the house of David. Now yes, there's a physical horn like this one in their altar, in their temple, but there's this even more important horn of salvation that's going to redeem all humanity once and for all. And that is, of course, Jesus. Through His death on the cross, Jesus was the horn of salvation. Kung ang katong physical horns altar, they would put blood on it, it would purify the altar, it would redeem them of their sins later on. Jesus' blood was shed on the cross. He was the horn of salvation. That through His blood shed, we receive forgiveness of our sins. Complete, total forgiveness of our sins. We have been redeemed of our sins, saved from our sins, saved from the punishment due because of our sins. And Zechariah is singing about that Lord, You have redeemed Your people. He's seeing the grander picture that God is sending the promised Messiah. There's this horn of salvation, and that is Jesus. The second thing, as we look at this song, is that God remembered His covenant. There's it been for a while. God remembers. Last week, we've learned that in the story of Mary, that God is mindful of His people. He takes note what you're going through, what has happened in your life. But He's not just mindful of what is happening in your life right now. He remembers. Because God is mindful, He remembers. He does not just forget about it. No, like kanang nag-text ka, nakalimot ka, after nabasa niyo ang text. God remembers, especially His covenant with His people. Luke chapter 1, verse 71 says, "That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath that He swore to our father Abraham to grant us." What is this covenant that Zechariah is talking about? He's talking about the covenant God made with Abraham. Abraham, if you know Abraham, is the father of their nation. sa iyagika ng nation of Israel. Abraham was pretty much this ordinary guy until one day God called him and God established a covenant with him. It's like a holy agreement between him and God. Even though God did not ask Abraham to be 100% committed to their terms, God was. God was faithful to their covenant or to their agreement. And part of their agreement, part of their covenant, was in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. We have this snippet of their covenant. It says here, God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God says to Abraham, I am going to bless you. Your people, your descendants, they're going to be a great nation. I am going to bless you. But here's the thing. God was not just talking about physical blessings, more treasures, more wealth, greater increase in number. But the Abrahamic covenant, okay, the covenant Abraham had with God, finds its ultimate fulfillment in the connection with the return of the Messiah. The ultimate fulfillment of God's covenant with Abraham and his descendants is the coming of the Messiah. It is through the nation of Israel, through Christ, that all peoples in the world will be blessed because the promised Messiah had come to save the lost. Without the promised Messiah, not everyone would be blessed, but because Jesus came into the picture through the descendants of Abraham, because God remembered his covenant, blessed his people, and ultimately, ang biggest fulfillment sa blessing was the coming of the Messiah. In other words, Zechariah is singing, Lord, how faithful are you with your covenant? Lord, amazing how faithful ka sa covenant nimo. You remember your covenant with us, that you're going to bless us. You don't just bless us with wealth, with physical needs, but you bless us spiritually, what we need the most. And that is the salvation of our souls. That is to be saved, to be redeemed of our sins. Our deepest need is our spiritual need. One that we cannot meet on our own. One will never solve on our own. And God is faithful to meet His covenant with His people. The fulfillment through the coming of the Messiah. Third, says here that God released His people to serve. As we look into the song Zechariah sang, verse 74 says, that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. In other words, part of being saved and being redeemed by God is that we have been saved so that we can serve God. We weren't just saved and we had this new life, we've been forgiven of our sins through Christ and that's it. We're free to do whatever we want. But in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says here, for we are His workmanship, His masterpiece. A masterpiece is an artist's highest or greatest work. The Bible says we are God's workmanship or highest, greatest work. The Bible says we are God's workmanship or masterpiece. And not just that. It says here, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Why were we created? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before we even born, God had prepared plans for us, good works that we may do when we were redeemed through Christ. There are good works that He had prepared for us that we are to do. We have been saved so that we may serve Him, that we may serve God. Not just serve anyone, but to serve God. And Zechariah is declaring how awesome it is, what a privilege it is that we get to serve God. Because he is seeing firsthand that his son had a great destiny to serve God. That indeed is the next part of his song. He then talks about his son, John. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to people in the forgiveness of their sins. Declaring that his son is the promised prophet. That's going to tell people that they need to be saved from their sins. That tells us of God's greater or grander plan, that He's going to send the promised Messiah, not to liberate Israel from physical oppression of the Romans, but to free His people from the power of sin. As He said a while ago, John was the one who's going to prepare the coming of the Lord. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. A couple of things before I'm about to end, talking about the life of Zechariah. If you look at the life of Zechariah, if you look at what happened to him, he had a pretty much similar experience with Mary. Both of them had this visitation of an angel. Someone came to them, gave them a divine revelation that Zechariah's wife and Mary was going to be pregnant miraculously. And yet, they both had differing experiences after that. Mary, she received it wholeheartedly. Nothing happened to her. But Zechariah became mute and became deaf. And we might ask, what's the difference? Same thing happened to him. Why the difference? It's because Zechariah doubted. I'm saying this, church, because a reminder for all of us, whatever promise has been given to us, no matter the circumstance in your life, no matter what hindrances there may be, it is not in any way an obstacle for God to be able to perform His promise, to fulfill His promise, or to perform His miracles in your life. You see, our faithful God can work beyond our doubts to fulfill His promise. Church, don't delay the possibility of experiencing God's miracles in your life by flooding your minds, your hearts with doubts, fears, worries, being skeptical of God's promise or God's words in your lives. Who knows, you might be at the corner of experiencing a breakthrough, experiencing a promise. Hold on and take God at His word. Even though she was not as educated, had a better stature as Zechariah, she was an ordinary girl, and yet she received the promise God had given her at His word. Whereas Zechariah doubted. But the good thing with Zechariah, after that, he came to realize, Lord, amo din yung plan mo, Lord. And it was then that he glorified God. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He was like, Lord, grab it. This is your plan pala, Lord. I want to remind us, church, if you're here today, you feel like you're not blessed. You feel like Zechariah, that you can't be blessed. It's past the point of being blessed. Every Christmas, we have all the reason to be reminded that we are a blessed people. If you're here today, you're a believer of Christ. Every Christmas should serve as a reminder to you that you are a blessed person. Because the coming of the Messiah tells us how blessed we are. The coming of the Messiah tells us that God is a promise keeper, that He can be trusted. If He can be trusted, that He's going to keep His word in sending a Messiah to die on the cross for our sins, so that we may be saved. If we are here today, we are recipients of that blessing. New life, forgiveness of our sins. If we get to have that blessing, how much more the other blessings out there? If you're here today, you're thinking, Lord, I want to be blessed financially, healing-wise, studies, so work, relationally, all those other stuff. Even if you don't see that, it doesn't mean God is absent or God is silent or God ignores you with your life. He's mindful. He remembers. And He's able to fulfill His promises. Church, we are a blessed people. May we declare, Lord, blessed be Your name. May we have the attitude of Zechariah after he realized na, grabe si Lord mang bless. May we say, Lord, how blessed You are, Lord God, amidst our circumstance, amidst the reality of what's happening around us, may we get to be reminded how blessed we truly are. Because the reality is, we are truly blessed. Our circumstances are not a hindrance for us to experience God's miracles for our lives. In fact, they set us up for our next breakthrough, for the next miracle, the next promise that God's going to fulfill in your life.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.